Father God, you are so worthy of our praise. You supply everything that we need according to your riches. And we just worship you. We just worship you and exalt you. We exalt you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. While we're in this atmosphere of worship, my nephew, back here, Danny, is suffering with something in the GI system. We don't know if it's ulcers. We don't know if it's gallbladder, but he's got, you know, bad abdominal pain and all of those kinds of things that go along with that. So I'd like, you know, some of you to activate and to gather around Danny. Also, is there anybody else? I get a sense that there's a healing presence in the house this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Kelly's having trouble breathing.
He thinks it's anxiety, so we need to break that.
All right.
Stephanie.
Okay. Mike. That's interesting. There's stomach issues. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes.
I started shots tomorrow with all the arthritis pain that I'm feeling.
Ciò condelevo consigliere la vita.
That I have to make it, and so.
You're looking at cortisone injections or whatever in the shoulders for arthritic pain and that kind of thing. So I need some you folks there around. Oh, my mind just totally went blank. I know your name. Brenda. Some folks gather around Brenda and pray for those shoulders. Come on. Somebody, anybody, everybody. Y'all can move out and pray for people just as well. Is there anybody behind me that needed a healing touch other than Kelly? I forget sometimes to turn around and look. But we'll get him back in here.
Brother Earl, can we bring Mr. Kelly in for prayer? He's in the hospital in Gainesville.
Okay. All right. Anybody else need specifically a healing touch? No.
Testing. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here in this time of prayer. And I just come in agreement with all the prayers that are being prayed right now. And I declare breakthrough in the name of Jesus. All this sickness, all this disease, everything that is going on right now, I thank you for breaking chains and that your anointing falls upon us right now and that chains are destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. As everybody is praying, I thank you, God, for just destroying chains. Everything that is meant to hinder us right now, everything that is preventing everybody, anybody, from running after you, from being healthy and whole and healed, I thank you for destroying those chains in the name of Jesus, because Jesus' anointing destroys the yoke.
Yes.
And we plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of us in this room, everybody that's not even present that is being prayed for right now. I thank you, God. I plead the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus washes it all away. Jesus took everything to the cross, and he laid it there, and it died, and he rose again in victory. And anything else that doesn't line up with the words, by his stripes we are healed, is an absolute lie, because by his stripes we are healed. And I declare that right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your fire falling. In Jesus' name.
More minutes. I don't want to rush. I don't want to rush this. You know, this is where lives get changed when we minister to each other. Hallelujah. Father, we also lift up Mike Simpson, who's having GI and stomach issues, and some of the same things that are going on, or I should say were going on, with my nephew over there. So, Father, we lift him before you, and we just you're healing. Your word knows no time or no distance. And so, Father, you sent your word to heal us. And so we send that word to Michael right now. And Mr. Kelly is back in the hospital for more treatment. Is that or side effects or issues, problems?
Yeah, his oxygen was low and had to bring it up and pass some blood.
All right. Y'all remember Mr. Kelly, I'm sure. And we've been praying for him off and on for some time. So, Father, again, we send your healing spirit. We send your healing love to our dear brother, Mr. Kelly. And I bind that cancer and that spirit of death that has come upon him with the blood of Jesus Christ. And I command you to loose Mr. Kelly now. Loose Michael Simpson. Loose Danny Ratu. Loose these. Loose these. Loose Kelly. He's not here. I don't know exactly what's going on with him. But Father, we command peace to come upon Kelly from the top of his head to the very bottom of his feet. We command
we agree,
peace of the Lord to fill him.
Thank you, Jesus.
To fill him.
Thank you, Lord.
To fill him right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes.
Right now. In Jesus'
name.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Can you get lights back there, Dustin? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys were awesome this morning, as always. All right, take a few minutes and, you know, go to the bathroom or get some, there's plenty of coffee and I don't know about the fruit, but take a few minutes, greet one another, and refill your tanks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder if you picked that up. Last Sunday when somebody said something about Lulu, I thought, yeah, that's how that ends. We, instead of just say in Columbia County, we named the various cities that we have people that live there and are ministering there. Teresa has something that she would like to share. Hello, test, is it on?
Hello, aha, now it's on.
Cassidy, there we go, pull a can. One of the things I don't know how to say this. This is
straight up.
Okay, straight up. I'll be 51 years old in July. And one of the things that God has been dealing with me and everything is shame. Now, there's, you know, not going into detail about any of that. But bones, bodies, illnesses, anything like that can be connected to anything like shame and unforgiveness, bitterness, strife. And God said that the joy of the Lord is our what? We all know that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Laughter does what? Laughter doeth good like a medicine. And one thing I've noticed is we go through all these trials every week. We go, you know, we hit Monday, you hit Tuesday, you hit Wednesday, and then the burdens of life bear weigh on us. I want y'all to practice something that I've been practicing. I've been taught this all my life, but I'm just now getting back into doing what I'm supposed to do. You've got to shout to the Lord. You've got to give praise to the Lord, not for what you're going through, because God does not do it to you. God is there. We've done it to ourselves or problems, all that, not just all ourselves, but life happens, like Pastor Terry says, life happens. But in every situation, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, and make your praise be known to the Lord. You've got to praise the Lord. And I'm not saying, thank you, Jesus. No, thank you, Jesus. Don't, no. You got to get somewhere in your car, traveling down the road, listen to a CD, that, and you just all out start praising the Lord and breaking the yokes of bondage, because God wants us well. He wants us financially well. He wants us to go out into this community, and we can't do it more. We're all beat and battered, and we are. We are all beat and battered. We know that. But just because we're beat and battered doesn't mean that He can't bind every wound, heal all of our broken hearts, deliver us from shame and suffering, and in our pain. Lord knows, I've had so much pain the past 10 years. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
10 years. I could barely get out of bed. And for the first 5 sheets, covers hurt my skin and my body. You know, and when you're like that, you can't say it yourself sometimes. And sometimes we need to be there for other people. Give them a call. Ask them how they're doing. Say, hey, I'm here to lift you up, and I'm here to spoon feed you. Sometimes you just need to be spoon fed, you know. But in and all, I don't care what I went through. My God is my God, and He's my healer. And no matter what I'm going through, like a guy who I listen to all the time, I used to sign off and says, no matter what you're going through, you're going through.
Through, amen. That's the word.
And if you catch hell, don't hold it. And don't stop. You go through.
I like that.
So, I would like everybody to stand up. Just stand up. And I'm doing this for me, just as anything. I'm preaching to the choir, okay? And I want, no matter how you sound, no matter what it is, I want you to make a huge shout to the Lord and praise Him with all of your might. 1, 2, three.
Praise Hallelujah! Lord. We praise you, Father.
Woo-hoo.
Yes! Glory, 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 glory.
Yes.
Glory, 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 glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Break, break off the burdens.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Chains are broken.
Yes.
Bodies
yes.
are healed.
Burdens have been rolled
you know,
away,
yes.
which is what we're going to talk about.
You know, the Levites... As the worshipers, they had to go before all of Israel. They were the first ones to go into battle, into war. And as worshipers, we need to lead y'all. But you are also a Levite, and you have to praise. What did you know? Y'all know about Joshua. Y'all know about the walls. What did they do? They shouted. Sorry. They did all kinds of stuff. And the worshipers were the first ones into battle. They couldn't do it alone. They had to worship and praise. And so no matter whether you can sing, no matter whether you can't sing, if all you can just say thank you, thank you, thank you, do it with your whole heart. And do it in every situation this week. Try it. Just do it. And then let's see what we look like and feel like when we come back next Sunday. God is, yesterday is gone and forever. We have got the future, and we've got the city to take, and we can't do it all. I know I can't, so I got to quit doing this. I'm trying, but anyway. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, it's my turn. Well, she preached about a third of my sermon there at the very beginning. Some of you that were here Saturday for prayer know that. But at any rate, a couple of announcements real quick. Don't forget, on June 5th, we'll be taking up a special offering for Cassidy to help defray her expenses and her costs for Bethel School of Supernatural, which she will be starting, I think, in September, if I'm not mistaken. Also, I saw on Facebook that Dale Turner's father has been fighting a major battle with cancer again for quite some time, and I think it was like on the 16th, one day last week there, that they did move him into hospice where they can keep him comfortable during his end stages. I know Dale's dad's a believer, so we don't have to necessarily worry about that. But God, as long as he's moving air, God can do a miracle in his life, in his body, in his heart, and in his family. So I would ask you just to pray for Dale's dad. I don't know his name, but pray for Dale and Charles and Dale's mom as well. Just envelop the family with your prayers. Okay. Jean's not here, so I'm gonna have to call her, the other Jean. I knew you was gonna do that. Because I should have used her last name. The Korean lady's not here. The Oriental lady is not here. So, but at any rate, one of the things we're working on with her is she is trying to get her house sold and got lots of yard work and some things there that need to be done. We're trying to get a Saturday nailed down. Tentatively planning on us men getting together for breakfast about 8, probably at, what's the place we go to all the time? No, we can't talk there. Beef's. Beef O'Brady's. They got a nice little room there in the back, and it's out of the way. And then after we tank up a little bit, the tentative plan then is to go ahead and go out to Gene and Toby's and help. I'll get a little better idea exactly what she needs done. I don't know if there's trees to cut down, grass to mow, but I know Mike Simpson has agreed to come and... the guy back there on the soundboard related to Cassidy. I don't know why I'm having such a hard time with names this morning. They're just, Gabriel. And that's a name I should remember after all, you know, the archangel, right? Okay. Is there anybody else that would be, you know, kind of willing to help? I know it depends on the day, da-da-da-da-da, but if you're able, you'll be there. Okay. Yeah, I got to catch up with Jean. I was hoping she would be here today and we could nail it down, you know, publicly, so to speak, and go from there. But I'll talk with her during this week, and we will get the date nailed down. Okay. Isn't God good? Oh, I didn't know if you had something to.
Oh, no, I was just saying.
Just stand there. That's cool. You did, but that's all right. You breathing better?
Not really.
Oh, he's so blunt. Well, you're here. I'm going to lay hands on you.
Please do.
Father, in Jesus' name, whatever's causing this issue, this tightness in his chest, Lord, I rebuke it. I just ask for peace to settle upon Kelly right now. Right now. The lungs, the airways to relax and open. I bind any stress or anxiety. And I just loose. That's it. Deep breath.
Trying.
Okay, try again. One more time.
Don't rush me. I'll pass out.
I'll catch you.
Hyperventilate.
Slow, deep breath. How's that?
I'm trying.
Come on.
I'm trying.
Give I'm talking time. To the Lord. Oh. Come on, Lord. Do it. Do it. Touch him, Father. Touch him. Touch him. Hallelujah. Father. More, Lord. More. More. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. There he is. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.
Here we go.
Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. One more time. Good deep breath. You got it?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah.
Praise God.
Can breathe.
Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on. That was weak. Okay, that's right. We have a victory here. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. I'm a little sidetracked, but that's cool. Yeah, I like to see God work. All right. Miss Teresa touched on burdens. On burdens. On just kind of everyday burdens. Just burdens in general. And, you know, if you don't mind, I'd like to see, you know, raise your hand if you're dealing with a burden. If you're burdened. There's got to be more people in here than just me. Ooh. Oh. Thank you, Lord. You gave me a message that's for now. I appreciate that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. If you'll turn to Matthew 11, 28 and 30. That's my foundational text. And we'll be relating back to that. I have 4 pages of notes. I don't know how it translates into time. And I intended to say when I got started, we'd go till I finished my notes or it rained. But it's already raining, so I can't. That won't work. So, you know, what can I say? I promise not to keep you any longer than Terry does. How's that? Okay. Matthew 11, 28 and 30. You there? I heard a page or two rustle, but they stopped. Everybody there? Okay. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Very common passage of Scripture, you know, at least it's common to me. It's one that I'm fairly familiar with. But I never really broke it down and looked at you know, some of the words here. I know that for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I believe Jesus is referring there to the religious trappings and the burdens that the Pharisees, and I guess Pharisees were probably the main ones doing it. But, you know, he talks about them and he said, you know, you lay heavy burdens on the people and you don't lift a finger to help them. And so I think he's comparing his burden being light to the very heavy burden that the Pharisees, you know, were laying on the people. And that was not a burden of weight, but it was more of a spiritual kind of anxiety. So I'm going to break this down, and we're going to look at some of the words here, and then we're going to dive out into how we get burdened in the first place. What happens that we get burdened? And then we'll look at how do we get rid of them. Those are kind of the two significant questions that were burning in my spirit. So let's examine Matthew 11, 28 and 30 a little bit closer. Okay, so he says, "Come unto me, all you who labor." In the Greek, the word, I'm not going to bore you with the Strong's numbers in the Greek words. I can't pronounce them anyhow, you know. But that's where the definitions for the words all came from, is from a Greek concordance and dictionary. The word here to labor is to grow weary, tired, exhausted with toil or burdens or grief. To labor with wearisome effort, to toil. Okay? So we're talking here about, you know, working so hard on the situation that we literally weary of it. We grow tired. We're exhausted, if you will. And then he says, "And all you who are heavy laden." I looked into the word laden, and as I looked into that meaning, it reinforced the direction that I was planning on going and one of the examples that I was planning on using. And Dean and Wanda, you'll see what I mean as we move along. But to laden essentially means to load up properly as a vessel, a sailing vessel, sailing ship, or an animal. You know, burden, beasts of burden, your donkeys and your camels and mules, if you will, pack horses, whatever. You know, the word is to you know, load them up as a literal meaning. And figuratively then, it means to overburden with ceremony or spiritual anxiety. And I kind of alluded to that when I said that's what I think Jesus was addressing when he talked about the burdens, you know, that the Pharisees were putting on the people. So I just found it interesting that to laden was you know, like putting a burden on an animal or in a vessel, and also had the figurative meaning. Okay. "And I will give you rest," the scripture says. Rest here is to cause or permit one to cease from any movement or labor in order to recover and collect your strength. Okay? Okay, so when we're laboring, when we're exhausted, when we're heavy laden with burdens and things that we're carrying, you know, if we come to Him, He'll give us rest. The next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I think everybody knows what a yoke is, right? Have you studied the word enough to realize that it's a device that usually oxen were hooked up to so that they could, you know, pull together. You can do singles or doubles depending on how many oxen you're rich enough to afford, you know, in the time. But the yoke is a framework that's put upon, you know, the oxen so that loads can be hitched on behind, plows can be hitched on behind, wagons, whatever, you know. Basically, I would think of a sled filled with rocks, you know, because the Jerusalem countryside was so rocky that they had to clear rocks. So that's just, you know, just my thought there. So it's the yoke, then, is what you hitch up to. It's a device used to hitch you up. So Christ says to take up His yoke, to be hitched up with Him, to be pulling in tandem, if you will, with Him, to take His yoke, His connection to Him. Okay, and then, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I looked up burden, and it got even more confirming and you know, reinforcement and confirmation as I read the Greek definition of the word burden used here. It's a burden of freight, or the lading of a ship, okay? And can also be faults of the conscience, which oppresses the soul. So we can be talking about physical, actual physical weights, burdens, you know, that we're carrying, or it could also, the burdens could also come from faults of the conscience, which oppress the soul. I.e. sin, essentially. That's what faults of the conscience, you know, are. You're believing a lie. You know, you're not where you need to be. So my picture that I kind of was created as I was thinking about and in the planning stages of this is, I want you to picture a large cargo ship, a cargo vessel. Okay, I don't care if it's a three-masted schooner or if it's a modern-day cargo vessel. The same things happened when they were in port, when they were docked. The hatches were open, okay, and the burden was laid into the ship. They used nowadays fancy cranes. In ancient times, they used a system of ropes and pulleys that were able to lift the big cargo nets, you know, that were loaded with cartons or barrels or whatever they happened to be loading, you know, into the ship, so that the ship, as it sits there in dock, becomes burdened, becomes loaded down with its cargo, with its load, with what it's supposed to carry. So kind of keep that picture in mind, because we're going to come back to it several different times throughout the rest of this. All right. Okay. You got the picture of the boat. You got the picture of the burden being loaded into the ship. How do we get ourselves loaded up with burdens? How do we get there? She alluded to it and mentioned it in her testimony. But I thought about this, there were two particular aspects. One of the first things that we do is we accept responsibilities that aren't ours. We take on other people's, you know, things. Now, we're to bear one another's burdens. We're to help each other, like you talked about. But then we're not responsible for each other's burdens from that standpoint. So, you know, we take on other people's responsibilities, and then we choose to worry about things we can't change. Okay? And the Serenity Prayer pops into my mind as I was thinking this. And I only used the real first paragraph, and everybody's familiar with, I think, the Serenity Prayer. But if not, I'm going to read the first verse of it anyway, just to refresh your memory. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, you got to have that wisdom as you're looking, you know, at these things. Now it says, God grant me the serenity. I like to think of serenity, or in my own mind, I substitute the word grace in there. God, give me the grace, you know, the enabling power, the enablement to deal with this thing. You know, give me grace. Give me grace. And mercy goes along with grace. But I think that's one of the main ways that we can open ourselves, if you will, to being burdened, to take on the responsibilities of others, and to then, you know, worry about that, you know, and to worry about things you can't change, things you can't do anything about, things that aren't in your power. Doesn't do me any good to worry about North Korea. I can't do anything to change it but pray. And I don't, you know me, I don't belittle prayer, you know, in any manner, but there's nothing I can really physically do about those idiots over there shooting off missiles. Another one went off this morning, by the way, they launched. Another one. That's like been every Sunday here for the last while. So that's your news update for today. All right, now this is the more serious way. You know, if we're yoked with Jesus, if we're yoked with Him, then He tells us that our burdens will be light. You know, His burden is easy to carry because He's carrying most of it. Okay? So His burden is easy to carry. So what we end up doing when we get severely burdened or become burdened down, okay, is unyoke ourselves. We unyoke ourselves from Christ. And we do that by sinning. By sinning, pure and simple. When we sin, we're disconnected. We're in sin. We're not in righteousness. There's a disconnect there until we correct the situation. Does that make sense to you? Okay? So we unyoke ourselves from Christ. So can I get everybody, does everybody agree that disobedience in any form, fashion, or function, disobedience to God is sin? Everybody accepts that premise, okay? That disobedience is sin. That's what started things. Adam and Eve disobeyed, okay? And you know the rest of the story. We're in the mess we're in now because of that. I mean, you know, not to throw stones, but... Okay, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Common passage of Scripture. But as I was preparing for this sermon, there were a couple of things in it that surprised me.
up. But all right, I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read the whole passage. Again, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. But starting in verse 25 in Matthew 6, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And by worrying, you can't make yourself any taller, is what he's saying. You know, you can worry all you want to, but it won't build you up. It won't increase your stature. If anything, it's going to weigh you down and burden you and decrease your stature. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these." And if you recall, Solomon's temple was like, you know, everything was gold and it was glorious. And the, you know, the queen of the north or south or wherever she was from came in and was like, you know, she brought a gift, but it was like the one, it paled in comparison to what the glory, if you will, of the temple at that point in time. So now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, I've read this a bunch of times, but this time, O you of little faith, really stood out. It really, really stood out to me. You know, and I'm like, why do you think Jesus put that in there? O you of little faith. Worry erodes faith. How? When you're worrying, you will enter into fear. You're fearful that God's not going to keep his promise, or that it's not going to come through, or the enemy's going to steal it before it gets to you. Well, whatever. You know, you'll enter into fear. And right behind fear then becomes doubt. You know, when you fear it's not going to happen, then you begin to really doubt God and doubt that he's going to do what he promised. Why would he do that to me? I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. That's oftentimes some of our thinking, but we teach differently here. We're all princes and princesses and kings and priests in the realm of the kingdom. Okay? And then right behind doubt comes unbelief. And if anything will paralyze your faith or check your faith or wear it down or drain it away, use whatever expression that you want, it's fear, doubt, unbelief. Those are opposites, if you will, of faith. You know, they're the exact opposite. And when you live in that realm, faith can't operate. Faith can't operate. You've got to break out of that and accept the faith that you need to deal with the situation. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, how you reverse that. Okay, he goes on. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need these things." And then Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Now take this verse and compare it with Matthew 11. Think about it. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. That's becoming yoked up again. If you know, if you're into that situation where you're seeking first the kingdom and you're seeking His righteousness, you're in the process then of becoming yoked again with Him. You're restoring the yoke, if you will, the connection that sin broke. Okay, and then when you restore that connection and you become yoked again with Him, rest. So, all of these things shall be added unto you. So if you get yoked back up with Jesus, okay, allow Him to carry the burdens, okay, you'll have a rest. Your reward, if you will, is that rest, that time to lay it down and to recoup your strength, you know, and to cease from your labors and your toils, you know, and to enter, you know, if you will, that rest. And then he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I always use New King James Version. I think the King James says something about, you know, today's evil enough, you don't need to, it's got enough evil, you don't need to worry about tomorrow's evil because you got your hands full with today's, essentially. But if you look at this, what does he say? In verse 25, he says, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you drink, etc., etc., etc. And he says it again. I don't have the verse number here, but do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Do not worry. And then if that's not good enough for you, he says it again. Okay, in this passage. Do not worry, he's a little more specific here, about tomorrow. Okay, so if God says, do not kill, and I murder somebody, am I in sin? If God said, tell the truth, do not lie, and I lie, am I in sin? If God told me three times, do not worry, and I enter into a state of constantly worrying about a situation, and I become burdened down with that situation because maybe I can't do anything about it, whatever it is. But if I'm worrying, am I in sin? Okay. Good enough. Good enough. And sin separates us. Sin unyokes us. Sin causes that separation. It's easily dealt with. And we're gonna look about that. Okay. As you know, I like to use a lot of scripture. We're going to look at Philippians 4, 6, and 7, just briefly. And you know it. You know what it says. Most of you can probably quote it. I heard somebody whisper it. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be ye anxious for nothing. That sounds like a command again. You know, and Matthew, he told me three times, specifically, flat out, don't worry. Being anxious and worrying equate. Okay? Especially depending upon the level of the anxiety. You know, you can anxiety can be a good thing and it can be a bad thing because it can spur you to getting into the Word. But anxiety can become burdensome. And so when we're anxious, we've violated a command of God. be anxious for nothing. Now comes the good part. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right. This is hooking back up again. If you go back to Matthew 11, I think it was, our theme scripture. Where am I? This yokes us back up. Let our requests be made known to God. And if we and we talked about thanksgiving and prayer. And if we have become separated, part of that prayer has got to be asking for His forgiveness and His cleansing. But that's kind of the next step. I get ahead of myself. Okay, verse 7 in Philippians 4 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Rest. He'll give you rest. So again, we can go back to take my yoke upon you, you know. We can go back to follow me, come after me, and I will give you rest. Are you seeing the connection here? You know? If not, hopefully you will. Ask the Holy Spirit, and He'll show you. All right, so I've gotten myself burdened down. I've been worrying about this or that or the other, sometimes more than one, many times more than one. You know, I mean, just being honest. And when I realize that it's become a burden to me because I've been overly concerned or I've been, you know, constantly, like, God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do this? I need to know. How are you going to do this? When are you going to do this, God? When? That's a common question that can again, you know, begin to burden us. How are you going to do this? And you begin to worry. Where's my next meal coming? Where all kinds of things burden us down. Name some. What are some things that'll burden you? Anybody? Not having work, being unemployed. All right. What else? Bills, finances. Okay. What'd you say? Paying the bills. Okay. What else? What else can become a burden to us if we allow it? Kids' safety, family, period. Family relationships, both good and bad, you know, but relationships of our kids and our grandkids and nieces and nephews and cousins. But relationships can become a burden if I'm spending all my time, you know, worrying. Your children. I'm a parent as well, you know. And I have to give her up. She hasn't started driving yet, so I've been kind of sheltered, you know. But it's coming up in the next couple of weeks here, you know, if things go according to plan. Yeah. Good advice. And if I don't worry about it, that hooks me back up with Him, and He'll give me rest. How about that? All right. Sean doesn't say much, but have you ever noticed when he does, it's a zinger. You know, it carries weight. It carries weight. That's why I like when he speaks. He thinks a lot before he speaks, which is important. All right, so I'm burdened. Whatever my burden is, finances. You know, whatever. Pick your burden, okay? Everybody's got one. I guarantee you, everybody has something that has become burdensome. to them. Okay? Now, I might be mistaken, but I doubt seriously, because we're all human, and we're all prone to disconnect, and we're all prone to begin, you know, to worry. It just happens. But we got to stop it. We got to stop it. That's like he gave me excellent advice. Don't worry. God said don't, so don't. Just do it. No, just not do it. Okay? All right. So how do we get rid of these burdens? The first thing we got to do is realize that it's a burden. Realize that it's there. Realize how negatively it's actually affecting my life. How it's weighing me down. How it's preventing me from fulfilling my destiny. Okay, because if I'm, you know, if I got sin that I haven't dealt with, it's not likely that I'll fulfill my destiny. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, because we can all go back to the healing evangelists and people that have been in sin and nevertheless seemed to fulfill their destiny. But all right, that's the first step. Then we got to admit that we're in sin. We got to just call it what it is. It's worry. God said don't do it. If I'm doing it, then I'm sinning. And I've severed my yoke. I've come disconnected. Ah. But all we have to do, and I say this like it's easy, is confess it and then repent. Now, confessing it's easy. Because confessing is just, Father, you know, I've sinned. I've been worrying about getting the bills paid and my retirement. And I've just been worrying and worrying and worrying. And I haven't been trusting you. My faith has eroded because I haven't trusted you. I haven't believed that you're, you know, and I've entered into doubt. You know, and my faith is just gotten weak because of all of this. Confessing, it's easy. Repenting, on the other hand, may not be quite as easy. Especially if you've been a worrywart all your life. You know, repent means literally to turn around and go the opposite way. So staying turned around and staying headed in the opposite direction is the hard part to me. You know, it's maintaining it once you've confessed. But praise God, 1 John 1:9, and you all know it, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Okay, so if we confess and repent and do that, then we're hooked back up again. We're yoked again with Him. Okay? And this verse then goes on to follow the same pattern as our foundational text. And then it'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we have no unrighteousness, we're cleansed. We're at rest. We should be. If we've, you know, gotten the sin forgiven, we've got hooked back up. After we hook back up, He provides the rest. It just freaked me out as I went through these scriptures and saw how all of these seemingly unrelated scriptures said essentially the same thing. Take up His yoke, you know, and He'll give you rest. It's a theme, you know, that just really kept showing up. All right. So once we've done that, once we've confessed, and we've begun to, you know, to enter into His rest, and we've you know, gotten clean, then one of the next things we've got to do is humble ourselves. It takes some humbling to even confess. You know, and that's the beginning. But there's another step to it. And if you look at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, this again is another extremely familiar passage of Scripture. And I think a couple of you can probably quote it once you remember what it is or figure it out. Therefore, Peter writes, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Okay? Same concept here. Casting all your care on him. That's yoking back up with him. You know, being humble and you know, under the mighty hand of God. That's yoking back up. You know, and that he may exalt you in due time. That's entering into the rest. Again, it's a positive outcome of being yoked. Because he cares for you. Now, at another Wednesday night prayer meeting, I really got a specific lesson in humbling myself. And it again comes from a passage of Scripture that we're very familiar with, that we've read 100 times, and that I've read numerous times and misinterpreted a major portion of it until I began to think of it, you know, in this light, and then began to break it down like I did the very first Scripture, a foundational Scripture, and look at the actual meanings of some of the words. You got to dig a little bit, you know, into the Word. I mean, face value, it can speak to you, you know. But if you begin to dig, it begins to unlock things. You know, he talks about the hidden treasures, you know. And they're hidden because he wants us to dig for them. He wants us to work for them. He wants us to find them. Because when we do that, it makes a better impression, if you will. It makes a lasting impression, you know, upon us. Because you struggled a little bit to get there, and then when you get there, there's kind of a reward. Rest. What can I say? All right. Luke 9:23. Turn to it. Look it up. Push your buttons. Whatever. When you're there, say I'm there. One person. Two persons. Three persons. Who else? Are you there? Luke 9:23. I don't know why my mouth's so dry. I'm not really nervous. I don't feel nervous. Do I sound nervous to your eyes? Well, that's good.
Usually I'm just...
But for some reason today, I'm in his rest. What could I say? All right. Let's look at Luke 9:23. Again, a passage that's very common to us. If anyone desires to come after me, get yoked. Okay? Let him deny himself and take up his cross. And in this verse in Luke, it says, daily, and follow me. The same passage is in Matthew, but the word daily is not included. But as I began to really dig into this thing, I picked up on some things. One of the things that I always read this, in my mind, where he says, and take up his cross daily. To me, that said, to pick up the daily things that I'm burdened with, you know, and deal with them and carry them off. Like Jesus picked up the cross; it was put on him, you know, and he had to carry it. But that's not the picture you get when you begin to dig into the words a little bit. To some extent, yes, it is. But I looked up deny, and one of the obvious definitions is Peter. He denied Christ. Go away, woman. I never knew him. I didn't know him. To deny something's existence, you know, to deny. What can I say? And I think the best example is Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. Refused to admit it, to acknowledge it. But the other meaning is to forget one's self, to lose sight of one's self and one's own interests. Okay? We're talking about, this is getting down to brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, pick your own cliche, whatever. Is where the metal meets the grindstone, whatever expression you want. Now, this is getting serious here. And one's own interests can become burdens if we're putting them before the Lord. So he tells us to deny that, to forget ourself, if you will, to lose sight of ourself and to lose sight of our interests, and then to take up. Take up, the expression means to raise, to elevate, and the part of it I like is to lift up, to pick up the load, and to bear it away. Okay? It's not to carry it with you, like my picture was, to design myself, pick up the cross and carry the cross with me. Whatever the things that are burdening me down and that are on the cross. That's not the picture that this passage is really, really alluding to. To pick up the load and bear it away. So where do we bear the load to? The cross. Okay? We don't pick up the cross. Cross is always an instrument of death. That's what it symbolizes. The Romans, Greeks, whoever else used it, okay, in our interpretations, cross is where Christ died. The cross is an instrument of death. So what we're supposed to do is take any self-interests, any section or part of myself that I have put ahead of God's word, what God has told me to do, okay, I'm to take that and I'm to bear it to the cross, put it on the cross where it can die. Die to self. Paul, I think, mentions it. I can't give you chapter and verse right now. But that's what we're talking about here. Literally dying to your own selfish self-interests, anything that's contrary to what thus saith God, okay, any part of you that doesn't line up because you're putting yourself first, and then nail them to the cross where they can be, where they are crucified and they are put to death. Then after we've done that, the verse says, take up your cross and follow me. So once I've gotten these self-interests and all of these things that come before God that I've been worshiping in some cases, whatever the situation may be, the things that I've been cherishing. Is that right? Okay. Ahead of God's will, God's way, After I've done that, then I follow Him. And this is interesting because the word follow here then is essentially to become a disciple. A disciple. A follower, or to become a disciple. And a disciple takes up the yoke and learns of him. Okay? There again,
You know, the concept of being yoked to Him and learning from Him and entering into rest. Because if you've allowed these other things in your life to be crucified, then you're back to your righteousness, if you will, is restored. Now, will you have to ask for forgiveness for some of these things? Most likely all of them, all of the things. Now, I began to pray this as a prayer last Wednesday. And, oh boy, did I start getting answers. Because this, to me, this is getting serious. When you're at this point, you're getting serious with God. And I'm doing my dead level best to get serious. Because I'm not seeing progress towards my destiny. I know my destiny is to minister in signs, wonders, and miracles, to set captives free. You know, all of those things. And there's trickles. You know, but there's things that are holding me back. And so this became a part of my prayer life. I did this for 3 days in a row. And each day, He showed me something different that needed to be crucified. Some things I can't share, but a couple of things were like, okay, I've got some old bills, just debts, but I didn't want to pay them. I didn't like, you know, the doctor or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. I didn't want to go back and pay those debts. I was putting my own self-interests ahead of, owe no man a debt except the debt of love. Okay? So I've been working on that. I've started a little savings account that I'm putting some in, and I rank my debts, these debts in order, starting with the smallest. And as I get enough saved to pay that one off, I'm going to pay it off. Now, that one's going to take me a while. That wasn't an overnight kind of thing. Okay? Another thing that He dealt with me on, and this may, He's going to deal with all of you individually, because you all have things that become, you all have your own issues that need to be denied. Okay? He showed me that I needed to get rid of movies or books that deal with sorcery, witchcraft. You know, I had to kind of deal with the 18 books in the Harry Potter series because I love that stuff. I love dragons, and I love the mystical, magical. You know, I don't practice any of it. I don't do any of it. I don't even read a horoscope, for crying out loud, because I don't want to open any doors. You know, but He tells us, and I've been, my daily reading has taken me back to Leviticus and Exodus, and He talks about it there specifically over and over, or at least 3 or 4 times, that we've got to deny sorcery, witches. I think they're supposed to be stoned, actually, if you know who they are. But we're not to allow that into our life, you know. So that became sin to me. Because I really liked it. I really enjoyed those books, you know. Because you never knew what to expect. You know, you never knew what was going to happen, and there was always, and that's how they keep you, you know, hooked in. There was a series on television that I just thrived on. It was Merlin, The Adventures of Merlin, and you know, there was some quote, if you will, history in it, but it was always a cliffhanger at the end of every episode. You know, there was always something that made you, you know, and I binge watched it about. There were 4 seasons, and I think I binged the first 2 seasons in 1 or 2 days, and the last in a couple of days. I just, because the intrigue and the mystery of it just stirred me up, you know. But I didn't realize that I might really be opening. For me, I was opening, you know, a door to sin,
And I had to confess that, you know, because it was mine. It was for me. It was something I needed to get rid of. So I'm working on those things. And to be quite frankly, I had to slack off of doing it daily because I became overloaded, if you will, in the first two or three days. If you ask him, he'll show you. I mean, if you ask him with a sincere heart, what's in my life that I have put ahead of you? What's in my life that's interfering with my relationship with you? He'll tell you. He'll show you. I promise you. Speaking from personal experience, he'll show you. So you get rid of it by confessing it. And let's see, where am I? All right. And getting cleansed from that unrighteousness, that hooks you back up again. Okay? That yokes you up again with him. The sin's been dealt with, you know? And at least in that aspect, you're hooked back up and ready to receive, you know, another level of rest. Okay. Got my pages shuffled here. Holy moly, 12:30. Terry'd be proud of me. All right. If you will, I'm coming into the airport. Or actually, I'm loosing my ship from the dock so that it can begin to move out. All right, so I said the first thing was to realize, so we get rid of our burdens by realizing and admitting we have sinned. And then the whole section from Luke 9:23 was humbling ourselves. So we realize we've sinned, we confess our sin, we get cleansed from our unrighteousness, we get hooked back up, we humble ourselves under the almighty hand of Almighty God by denying ourselves, taking these things up, nailing them to a cross, turning from them, not doing them anymore. And this is an ongoing process, because I know there's other things down there. There's a couple things kind of rearing their ugly head, and I'm trying not to look in that direction just yet. If that makes sense to you. I'm just being real. Okay, then. The third thing that we can do then is to rebuild our faith. Our faith with His Word. Okay, rebuild our faith. We talked about how the worry erodes the faith. I mentioned that. We talked about that. Okay, so if our faith has been eroded, if it's been drained, you know, it's become weakened, we have to rebuild it. And we do that with, A, the Word. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Okay, the other things that can help to rebuild our faith is the Word of our testimony. Go back to the times, you know. If you got this burden and you're carrying it, you know, and you're almost wallowing in it, if you will, it's really weighed you down. Build your faith back up. Go back to the times when God came through for you. Go back to the time when I can't go into the details of the story, but I had a $35,000 debt from a VA loan that wasn't really a just debt, and I fought it. It took 18 years because the VA kept losing the paperwork, and I sent it, and so I didn't answer. I didn't worry about it, you know. But God, they finally got the message and they sent me a letter and said, oh my gosh, 20 years have passed. I think it would be an undue burden on you to have to pay this $35,000. Therefore, the debt was canceled. It was written, praise God, absolutely. You know, so when I deal with financial things, I have a tendency to kind of go back and look at, I call it the VA victory, bless God. Because that's what it is. So you allow our testimonies to build our faith so that we can deal with it. Now, you remember the cargo ship? Got the cargo ship tied up. They're loading it, burdening it down. So they're ready. You know, they've got all the burdens on it they can get, and they close the hatch. Okay? So how does the cargo ship get rid of its burden? What does it do? It goes to the next port and unloads it. It gets rid of it. It moves to the next port and gets it unloaded. Okay? So the captain can stand up there in the wheelhouse all day long, spinning that big wheel. I don't know if it's a big wooden wheel like on a pirate ship, you know, or whatever picture you have in your mind. He can stand up there spinning that wheel all day long, but if the engines aren't started or the sails aren't hoisted, depending on your boat, and you haven't cast off, untied the boat so that it can move, okay, it can't unload. It's not going to be able to unload. So, you know, the navigator can send the captain all of these directions, you know, go to this latitude and this longitude and hang a left. I'm not a navigator, obviously, you know, but you get my opinion. But if the boat's not moving, those directions aren't going to help him. Aren't going to help him. So I want to close with another very common scripture that I never thought about in terms of our foundational scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Those three verses are yoking yourself with the Lord. Think about it. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't try and figure it out, okay? And don't try to understand, because His ways are supernatural. They're not our ways, they're higher in our ways, yada, 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 yada. You get my point, you know? So that's yoking, again, with Jesus. And He shall direct your paths. If He's directing your paths, that's where you'll have rest. You don't have to worry because you're following His path. But you got to move out. You got to move to be directed. You got to be moving to change directions or to go a different way or to follow His. He can't direct your steps if you're not taking any. Make sense? It's just like the ship. You can't go anywhere until the engine's turned on, until the ropes are cast off, and then it begins to move. As it begins to move, then the navigator, i.e. God, can give the captain directions, ways to go, maybe a huge storm in this ship's path. And so, you know, he can direct it around that situation. So unless you're unless you take His yoke upon you and learn from Him and do these things, you won't find rest from your burdens. They'll just build up and build up and build up. I'm going to pray over you and then we'll let you go. Father, in Jesus' name, I have burdens. I've done it. You know, I'm preaching to the choir here this morning.
But we all have things that we allow to become way too burdensome because we worry or take thought for tomorrow. That means basically worry, whatever the situation is. We enter into sin, and that separates us. That separates us from you. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. It separates us from His love. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, for the areas that we need to deny ourselves, for the burdens that we've carried and carried and carried, Father, forgive us. Cleanse us from that unrighteousness, Father, from any of these things. Father, give us new vision, to see our way past the burden that weighs us down, that holds us down. Help us to see your testimonies. Help us to see your mercy, your grace, your power, and most of all, your victory, that as we become yoked with you, you carry our burdens. You carry our burdens. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We just lift up the burdens that we've got, and we ask you, Lord, to forgive us and to take them, because we know that your burden is light. Father, we thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen and amen. Questions or comments? Thank you. I received that. Any other, you know, comments, questions, victories, testimonies? You know, you're dismissed. You can head out whenever, if you can get up.